Blog Talk Radio.
And we have a great show today lined up. We have Ronki Tanasali from the Las Vegas Showgirls lined up, as well as we got Combine News from our at Pat Fans Girl 12, which is Erica Lynn Anderson, and at Gridiron Girls. And we also have the scoop on the women's game this weekend from Spain to Guam to Mexico, getting ready for some scrimmages as well. So welcome aboard. You can look us up at UltimateSportsTalk.com. You can check our podcast there, as well as right here on Blog Talk Radio. Erica, are you on?
I'm here. Hello, everybody.
So, Erica, we have a lot of questions going on in the NFL, and I was keeping tabs on the NFL Network. But let's start off with the show with the Combine. I know you're involved with that, and you have some information about some of the key things that are going on with the Combine. So let's talk NFL for the first couple minutes here before we go into the huddle. What are some of the key pieces here going on in the Combine? I know there's a lot of stars. We talked about, Michael Sam making the cut, Johnny Manziel going to the Texans. So give us a little bit of scoop of what's going on with the NFL Combine and the, going towards the draft.
Yeah, so obviously the Combine ends up kind of being an audition for the draft. Some of the things, some issues I find, this year's draft class is really talented. I was on a call with Mike Mayock that said that this year's draft class is one of the deepest at talent that he's seen in 10 years. That having a top 20 pick this year is like having a top 10 pick in previous years, which kind of gets me to thinking the effect that this talented draft class could have on free agents this year, especially they're really deep at wide receiver at the draft. Will receivers, free agent wide receivers, be able to demand as much money, seeing as how a team could possibly say, well, maybe we'll take our chances with the draft. Eric Decker's a free agent this year. Julian Edelman's a free agent this year. Those are just two off the top of my head that, they're talented and they're going to want money. They've been on successful teams the past couple of years. Obviously, Eric Decker made a Super Bowl run. So, those are just some pressing issues that I find that the Combine and the draft are bringing up. As far as, the Combine, there was a lot of attention focused on, like, Johnny Manziel and Terry Bridgewater and Michael Sam. I found that I really liked Blake Bortles, who is a quarterback from University of Central Florida. I really like this kid. Technically, he's probably not the most talented, but after I read about him and kind of what he has to say, I just really like his personality. He's got a good work ethic. He was the only quarterback at the Combine willing to throw to unfamiliar receivers, and typically they don't throw because if they're unfamiliar receivers, they don't want to look bad in front of scouts and the NFL team. And Bortles just kind of said, hey, that's why I'm here, this is what I want to do. And to me, that shows an encouraging personality. He's open to coaching, he's open to working on his skills, and it's kind of like a no fear type thing, like do or die, I'm gonna do it. And And I know Johnny Manziel's kind of the shining star here, but I really feel like the Texans would do well picking Bortles first. I think that he would fit well with their system. I think that O'Brien could really take this kid and turn him into a star. I think he would work well there. And so those have been all things that I've been mulling over and thinking about, things that really strike me with the combine and ultimately the draft.
Now, we know we talked about, you know, Texans being the focus for taking the first pick, and even though Manziel wants to go to the Texans, I don't think that's going to happen at this point. Do you feel like he's going to go maybe to a lower case team? Maybe I wouldn't say the Browns at that point, but I think he's going to go probably to a team that needs an immediate, you know, star power for sales. You know, overall, I think the combine for me, it's just really just a showcase of skill, not necessarily who's going to do well. Because if you go back to the previous years, whoever does well in that combine doesn't necessarily equate to that they're going to do well, you know, in the regular season. So I think it's just more of a skill set for it, and it kind of gives you an idea of what kind of arm they have, the potential of explosiveness, and really, you know, on the receiver end, the ability, the leaping ability, the mobility to basically separation and stuff like that. So, to your point, I think those are the better players that you mentioned that are really making a name for themselves right now as we get towards the draft.
Yeah, and everybody wants to be picked first. Obviously, you know, that's where the money's at. But I think what people forget when they think about going first is that each team has their own individual needs. So just because Johnny Manziel is, you know, people think he's the best quarterback in the draft right now doesn't necessarily mean he's going to fit well in the type of system that the Texans run. You know, so I think that we need to stop focusing on the number you're taken at and making sure that you're fitting in well from the team that's taking you, because that's when you're going to be successful. You know, it doesn't matter when you're taken. It matters who takes you and what kind of player you can become inside of that set. And I think that Johnny Manziel's talents would be wasted at a team that has primarily been focused on, you know, passing strictly when Manziel likes to run. You know, he's fast, and that's just the Texans. I just don't see that being a good fit for him, which means he would be wasted and ultimately not as successful as he could be. He wouldn't reach his potential. So there's too much focus on that draft number, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, and to Mayock's concern, I mean, or his feedback that you were given, obviously it's a class where the 20s may be within the 10s, and that's because there's a lot of talent out there. And based on the needs of each team, like you mentioned earlier, right now, there's still issues with cap space. There's issues, like you said, with the free agency. How do they blend in? Who do they really need to bring in? Is it going to be defensive-minded drafting? Is it going to be offensive-focused? Are they lacking special teams? Look at Seattle. I mean, Seattle is a proven example of nobodies, basically, off the draft. They're, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. And all of a sudden, you know, the coach and the coaching staff was able to put together a college mentality on that squad, and you see how successful they were this year.
Exactly. I know. Well, and you got to look back at, you know, the draft when Brady was taken, you know, 199th pick, and, you know, the Patriots took him, and look what it has turned into. So, you know, focusing on that draft number is not as important as who you're taking and how they can fit in. You know, Seattle's a great example of that. Russell Wilson, I mean, nobody thought the kid would do much, and look what he's done. So, definitely.
Yeah, and we talked defensively for most of the squads. I mean, Seattle is a perfect example of that. The no-name, basically no-names on the defense, and they, you know, nobody gave them a chance as they would claim. So there's going to be a lot of potential players in this combine that come out, like you said, on the lower rounds, as Mayock has pointed out, which they would be classified as 20, but technically they would be notables for maybe in the top 10. But given that the fact that this has become more of a show, you know, like a reality series per se for the NFL Network. I think in the past years, looking back to 10 years, nobody would have cared. And now we really focus on more like, you know, the actual individual, what they bring to the table. And we scrutinize it so much that I think at some point we miss out on the actual finds And those are not going to blossom until, obviously, we get into mini camp. And then in the first couple games of preseason is when you start to see the real talent as to where they came out of. I mean, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or, you know, were they really worthy of the first to the top 10 picks? So still a lot of questions to be answered on that. So we can find all this at, you said, gridirongirls.org, and you're going to get that up there, and then as well as the tweet at Gridiron Girl, so you can stay up to date on the NFL Combine news.
Yep, at gridirongirl.org, yep.
Perfect. So we have a guest on tonight and today, Erica, and the lovely Veronica Tanaselli of the Las Vegas Showgirls, and I believe she's on with us. Welcome to the No Joke Football Huddle. No Joke Football Huddle is brought to you by Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. So you can find anything on there, tees, hoodies, and leggings are 20% off. Just use the code SCARFLEGGINGS. So let's welcome our No Joke Football Huddle guests, and that's Veronica Tanaselli. I hope I got that right.
Yeah, you got that right.
Perfect. Veronica, you're on with Erica Lynn Anderson and Oscar Lopez. And I know you played last night kind of a scrimmage match against the Everett Rain. So tell us a little bit about last night. And I know the season started to kick off in April, but you guys are kind of kicking off earlier than that, right?
Yeah, we start. Coach likes to get us going in a few earlier games for like the rookies and people coming in with the people that we already have to kind of gel together, you know, and get used to each other and the style that we play. So it's always good to have a few games ahead of time because you work out all those little bugs before you get into the season. Because you know our first two games are going to be against tough competition. So this year.
Now on your side of the West Coast, you have. Las Vegas, you got some competition in that division for this year, and it's kind of unique this year because the WFA, there's some teams that left, some teams that folded, so the schedule had to be restructured a little bit, but
yes.
Do you see you guys coming out on, you know, up in the playoff mode this year from last year's finish?
Of course, we always want to say we want to go all the way, you know, I always hope for that. It's gonna be tough, but I mean, I could see us going all the way on this one. You know, it's just a matter of if we can pull it all together as a team. You know, like I said, our first two games are probably our toughest competition with the War Angels and the Surge. So, you know, you look at it both ways. You either get them out of the way, or you know, just got to buckle down a little bit in the beginning of the season. But I'm looking forward to seeing both those teams again.
The Surge, Veronica, the Surge is, you know, former champs, so it's a good measuring stick.
Yeah, the Surge, you know, we lost to them at the second game last year. It was kind of disappointing because we got a couple of girls, key players, that got really injured. And after that, our team kind of, you know, fell apart a little bit, you know. But we're looking forward to playing them again because they're a good team and they're a good matchup for us.
Now, Veronica, tell us a little bit about your history with the team and obviously – in playing women's football. I know you sent us some information on there, and we're not going to go by age, but I know you are probably one of the elder players on the team, if we can mention that. And more, you know,
yeah.
You've played a little bit of everything, including some semi-pro softball, so very athletic in that sense. So we applaud you, obviously, for putting yourself in there with the sporting aspect of it all the season. So what drew you to the women's game?
Well, I was playing sports for a while, and then there was a benefit, at least in California, and there was a benefit they had for homeless kids, and it was like a bunch of girls got together, and we practiced for 3 months in pads for a benefit game. And I said, oh, let me try that, and I was a lot younger then, and I tried it, and I just fell in love with it. I said, oh, wow, this is a great team sport. I've played a lot of different sports, but this is the only one that it's really team-oriented. I mean, you can have a lot of stars, but you really have to gel together as a team in order to win a championship. So once I played that one game, I was hooked, but then there was no women's football at that time. Then I moved to Vegas, and then in 2006, I saw a bulletin, and they had their opening game, and this girl said, oh, we got two more positions. I said, let me have the coach's number, and I called him up, and I said, no, coach, you only have one. And then that's been history after that. You know, I've been playing ever since with him. basically, and I just keep playing. Everybody tells me, you know, you're a little too old, you're going to get beat up, but I just can't stop, you know, and as long as I'm still moving and able to play and do something for the team, then I'm going to keep going until my body says no more.
Now, are you looking into maybe what everybody else is thinking at this point, mentoring, coaching? Are you thinking maybe you're going to go in that route even to stay in the game, even if off your playing days where, like you said, maybe you're not able to do some of the skill sets that on the field mentality?
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
You look forward to that?
I'd like to do that. They were starting the girls team out here. We started it, but it didn't kind of take off very well. But I did have a chance to coach some girls. And, you know, they're just like sponges. You know, they just want to learn everything because they look up to us and stuff. But they do have the flag out here in the high schools right now in the second season, and they're doing very well. They're getting a lot of girls out there in numbers, and that's kind of like where our pool will come from when they get old enough to come into, you know, where we're at after they graduate. So I'm kind of excited about that. And I do get on the USA football page, and I've been taking classes and, you know, coaching and how to coach youngsters and stuff like that. I did coach soccer when I was younger, but, you know, this is a little different.
Now, I know you were doing softball before. Are you still, you know, thinking maybe coaching in softball if you can't do the football for some reason?
I haven't done softball in years. I'd have to, like, really warm up on that. I mean, basketball was my love when I was younger and soccer when I was really young, but football, I can't see doing anything else except dealing around football. I think women's football is starting another uptrend, you know, after just kind of a standstill they had for a while, especially on the East Coast. You know, they seem to be a little ahead of the West Coast at this point, and it looks like they're doing very well over there, and they're, you know, they have a lot of backing, I guess, from the people that on that side, and the West Coast is a little bit behind, I think. But the players are getting better every year. So, you know, and more athletic and more knowledgeable of the game. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with women's football in the future.
Now, you know, it's kind of exciting times in the game because you got a lot of things internationally going on now, especially with women's football, not just in the U.S., not just Canada, but you're looking at Mexico exploding with the traditional game plus the non-traditional game. You got Australia literally exploding. You know, for the state trials going towards the 2017 championship. You got Europe as well. So it's like a hotbed now. It's like a fuse been lit, and there's women's gridiron like being played literally internationally everywhere, almost on every continent now. So it's kind of exciting to hear that.
Yeah, that's real exciting. When I seen the USA team the first time they played, and I was like, look at these girls play. They really, you know, they really put it out there, and it was an enjoyable game to watch when I watched it. And then they played this last year, and I said, you know, I'd like to do that. I'd like to get there. I know it's a few years before they have the tryouts again, and I was supposed to go to the little international games they had this past month. But I had gotten injured, and I had to work, so I wasn't able to go. I had to cancel, unfortunately. But hopefully I stay healthy enough, and I'm going to go ahead and try out for the next USA team. And, you know, if I don't make it, I don't make it, but at least I gave it a shot. You know, that's where my goals would be. But I'm excited about all the international teams there are out there.
Yeah, and a lot of the times, you know, you wouldn't think that there was games being played out there, but there's a lot of leagues maturing, and it's a positive for the sport. I think IFAB has done a great job of incorporating it internationally in the scene, and then USA Football being a part of the women's game now, as well as with the juniors and seniors. I think it's going to elevate the game even more, especially with the USA Football backing, you know, the sponsorship of USA Football.
Yeah, it's like I tell the girls who come in new, I said once you get the first hit out the way, you know, and your big raccoon eyes are all calmed down, you get to love the sport, you know what I mean? And it's just it's something about it. I played a lot of different sports, a lot of different team sports, individual, and I said it's hard to explain. It's just one team sport that's just different. It gives you a different feeling. It's like you just can't get enough of it. It's like a rush that I've never felt before, and that's the reason why I keep playing because like it's just you know with the way the girls are with each other. And a lot of girls, you know, we're single mothers. you know, from abusive backgrounds. So it's almost like anger management type place where you can just vent and to other girls with similar, and it just brings everybody closer together, you know, it seems. And it's good for the husbands at home because, you know, we take it all out on the field, we leave it there, and then we're nicer at home when we get home.
So I was told before that it's a rush, it's an actual assault, but you don't get handcuffed. That's really what
yeah.
it is.
Yeah,
you get
yeah.
on the field,
somebody
it's an
not get
assault, it's an attack, and you're at the end of the day, you're not getting carted out to a cage or anything like that. You just let it out. It's the aggression mode.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's a way to vent legally, and plus, you know, you got pads, you got protected, you know, so you know, there's not much you can really hurt except for, you know, just your regular playing. Because some girls out there, you know, they're pretty hard. They hit pretty hard. They're in the gym a lot, you know, depending on how much time you got when you're juggling your job and your kids and whatever. But, yeah, and like I said, the girls are getting better because I remember when I first started, you know, it's like, oh, we were just out there kind of like for fun at first, but then everybody got a little serious and then it got serious, and I noticed that the girls are getting better and better and better, you know, so it's nice to see that that's happening. I just wish I was a little younger when I started, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and I think that at this point you're at a point where maybe you could be a pioneer, like I said, with the coaching aspect of it, and bringing forward the
yeah.
new generation
of
women that are going to come up.
Everybody's begging me to retire. Yeah, but I just can't do it yet. I'm not ready to retire as long as I'm still able to give something to the team. You know what I mean? I feel like I still got something to give. Yeah, I don't come back from injuries as quickly, but I'm still able to play, so I feel good about it.
Awesome. So, Ron, can you tell us a little bit about what Las Vegas Showgirls have in store for 2014? Are you guys on the community, run? Are you guys, what are you guys doing now? Tryouts still? Or are you guys pretty much set with the roster going forward here with all the scrimmages that are coming up right now before the season?
Well, right now we got a few players, returning players from last year that are still out of town. But then we got players from a couple years ago that have come back. And then we've got a few rookies, so we're kind of mixed in. So, you know, we're learning how to gel. That's why Coach wants us with a lot of pre-games to gel. But I'm really excited because before the last couple of years, we've been a running team, and basically. And we've got one of our old quarterbacks back, and she knows how to throw really well, and some of the receivers. And so we might be more balanced team this year. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how that's going to work out for us. It'll take a little bit of heat off our running backs.
Just to be up on the upside, you are talking about Nikki Johnson, right?
Yes.
That's
and,
correct.
And Ty's back from last year, and she's coming on in her own right now too. You know, for last year she was the first time being quarterback full time, and she's starting to get rhythm and stuff like that with the two of them. You know, they should be able to do good for us. And like I said, we got some other players coming back and some exciting new rookies. And some from other teams, like in California. We got a couple players from California. So I'm excited, you know what I mean, to see how we're all going to gel together. So far, we're doing really well. You know, they're working hard, and you know, they seem to want to go to practice all the time, even when coach is in calling practice, you know, they get together and just want to go over plays and mental reps and so forth and so on and film and whatnot. So that's like 10 times better than before, so I'm kind of excited to see how the season's going to go. Hopefully all of us can stay healthy, and we'll take it from there. You know, we plan on, of course, going to the big show, you know, everybody does, but I really like to see us go there this year.
Awesome. So, Veronica, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Say hi to Nikki Johnson and Mr. Dion Lee for us, and we'll touch base with you guys during the season to see where you're at the end of April. And maybe we can chat once again in terms of what's going on with the squad and your standing at that point. So you have the San Diego Surge, I believe, is the next matchup you guys have against?
Well, we have another next week, Saturday at home. We have a Utah Jinx preseason game, another preseason game with the Utah Jinx. So our next game will be then. You know, he tries to get as many games in before. Because, like I said, our first two opener games are against tougher opponents, so we want to make sure we're ready for them.
Awesome. So thank you for your time, making the time on Sunday. I look forward to another chat with you and continued success on the football field. Stay injury-free, and we'll be keeping tabs on the Showgirls for the 2014 season in the WFA. Have a great Sunday.
Well,
thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks,
Barry. All right. So, Erica, we had, Veronica Panicelli, which I believe I got it right from earlier. A lot of exciting things going on in the women's game right now. Like she was talking about, very exciting times right now. There's women's gridiron being played internationally, not just on the men's scale, but now on the women's scale, all over the place. So I got some news and notes coming up on that. But overall, I mean, this sport is growing to a point where it just needs to get noticed. And I'm hoping that with the backing of USA Football, it's going to get noticed, hopefully, you know, within the next probably 2016, or if not 2017, it's going to be a lot bigger. So let's go with the news and notes of the gridiron game. The Liga Nacional, the Football Americano, the female league out of Spain, had their week three started early this week. It was supposed to be March 22nd, but it started on this past weekend. And it was the Buffalo girls taking on the Drac girls, and Buffalo wins 33-6. That puts the Drac girls at 0-3 for the season, 1-2 for the Buffaloes. So they stay in somewhat of a mixed mode, with about another 3 weeks to go, because it's a five-week season. So you can get all the updates at @fieldgoal_EU. The Women's Gridiron Tackle Football League of Guam had their preseason scrimmage this week against the Japanese squad of Langles of Osaka. And the Japanese squad won 28-8 versus the Lady Raiders, who were representing the GWTFL. And you can get the updates there as well at @Guam_Sports. The new league in Guam, it's the second league that's going to start off this year, and it just kicked off preseason this weekend. It's the Women's Football League of Guam, the Guam Women's Tackle Football League squad in traditional full kit. And it was the Stunners against the Rough Riders, the Sindaloo against the Falcons, and we'll try to get up the score updates from Guam Sports as well this weekend on the Facebook page. The season for them kicks off on March 8th. And the schedule is on our Facebook page as well. On March 8th, the international scrimmage next week, the WFA Austin Outlaws will take on the Mexico All-Stars, full kit scrimmage as well. And you can follow the details for tickets. Get tickets at @Austin_Outlaws. Be there at 7 o'clock. It's a great matchup. WFA Austin Outlaws taking on the Mexico All-Stars from down south. And March 8th, the first road game for Jen Welker and the Texas Revs as they take on the Nebraska Danger. That's going to be basically Jen's first official road game. So you can follow her at jwelter47, or you can follow the Texas Revs at Texas Revs as well for all the details of the upcoming game on March 8th. March 29th, we see the LIBF Oficial in Mexico, the All-Star Game, third All-Star Game. Team Diamond looking for the third win against Team Gold. So you can get the details as well on our Facebook page, and you can follow at LIBF Oficial for all the details on the tickets. Tickets on sale now, so you can go to the matchup in Mexico City at the Domo Seccional on March 29th. We will have WFA and LFL previews starting March 16th and March 30th for the upcoming seasons. So if you are looking forward to that, we will have that on, and we'll try to get some insights as to who's going to be the top squads coming out of this year's WFA season, as well as the LFL previews starting March 16th and March 30th. Erica, do you got anything that the fans need to know for Gridiron Girls going on? We talked about Combine before.
Yeah, we'll have our Combine Award pulse up this week. So look forward to that. You can find the link on, it'll be on my Twitter page as well as Gridiron Girls. You can find mine at @PepFangirl12, and Gridiron Girls is at GridironGirl.org. You can also go to GridironGirl.org to check out our page. I'm doing a webcast on Tuesday the 4th with Cover 3. You can catch that at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Google Plus and their YouTube. If you go to @Cover3, and the number 3 is for the E, they will post the link for that. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right, so we'll have the Cover 3 link on our Gridiron Beauty site as well as Gridiron Girls and at Pathfinder Girl 12. So you can follow us up. Dial us up, direct messages on either of those Twitter feeds. And we look forward to chatting with each and every fanatic out there. So if you have anything that you want to let us know about discussing on the show. You can also give us a shout-out there. Other than that, it's a great show. We thank Veronica Panicelli from the Las Vegas Showgirls. We went through the NFL Combine. We'll have more Combine news next week as Erica keeps tabs on towards the draft. And we will have some guests coming up starting next week. I'm Jennifer King of the world champion Carolina Phoenix will be here with us. So for Oscar Lopez and Erica Lynn Anderson, this is Gridiron Beauty's Blitz. You can find us at ultimatesportstalk.com as well as here on blogtalkradio.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will see you next week on The Blitz.
Have a great night, everybody.